This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tzav. It's also going to be Parshas Parah as well. Tzav begins, Tzavas Aaron v'espanav le'mor, command Aaron and his sons. And Rashi notes that there needed to be a command because there was a potential financial loss, and financial losses are often difficult for people to accept. Hence, there's a Tzav of zeros. There's a need for encouragement. Now, how could one fathom that a Kohen, of all people, would need an additional incentive when serving Hashem? Really? A Kohen? So Reb Hanoch Leibowitz, the great Rosh Hashiva of Chal Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, he answered that indeed this is the case when we're faced with the financial loss. Even a Kohen, even in regard to the Avoda, when there's a potential for a financial loss, people feel lost. And he cited, Reb Hanoch that is, cited a proof text from the Yerushalmi that retold an episode concerning Reb Yochanan, who could not answer Shilas on a particular day since he'd been robbed of his money. And his head was in his heart, which at the time was in the money he'd been robbed of. And so therefore he couldn't go ahead and pay attention. We need a tzav and a zeros when it comes to money. We need to be extra encouraging. We need to feel extra supported. We're also told later in the parsha about the Karban Toda. Im al Toda yakriveno, if he offers it as a Karban Toda, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Zechat Tzadok Livracha, noted that today's holding place for the Toda of old is the Bracha Vagomel. When a person always asks, do I bench Gomel, do I bench Gomel, that's a reminder of the Karban Toda, which expresses gratitude. In fact, we often have a difficulty offering gratitude since it implies a certain dependence, which makes us uncomfortable. Revolvi makes a similar point. But Rabbi Tversky suggested that this assertion is actually a protection of one's fragile ego. The opposite would be esteem. And not holding on to what one should be able to and be able to do based on a lost past, but rather on what he or she is going to do based on the present into the future. Rabbi Tversky suggested that this is exactly what happens at the time of Gomel. The person notes that he's thankful to Hashem for showing him kindness, even if he was undeserving, and the people respond that the kindness should not be stopped. Misha gamocha kol tov, hu yigmocha kol tov selah, should it be forevermore? That the one offering, the bracha, should have many more opportunities to recognize the chesed of the future. And that is part of the message of the Karban Toda. A good chunk of the parsha deals with the story of the Miluim, how exactly Aaron and his children were prepared to serve, and how Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take him. So the Torah tells us at the beginning of Perek Ches, Kachas Aaron v'espanav ito, take Aaron and his sons, and Rashi notes that Moshe needed to encourage Aaron to move into the new position. And the Gemara Menachas on Daf Kuptes notes that once upon a time, Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia would have tied up and placed the person who told him to become a Jewish leader in front of lions. But once he was already appointed a Jewish leader, if someone told him to give it up, he would pour hot water on him. What's pshat? The late great Mashgiach of MTJ, of Moshe's yeshiva, Michal Barenbaum Zatzal, pointed out the irony of the change in temperament. And he notes that the challenge of Jewish focus on leadership. On the one hand, one's not supposed to seek it for his own personal needs. However, once one masters what it means to be a Jewish leader, it becomes so much of his being that it's almost impossible to excise and still hope to continue and proceed. It's once you take that role and you really do it properly, you come to expect it and make it part of you. And he added that one must be exceedingly careful when assuming Jewish leadership positions and make sure that he's not seeking them for personal benefit. What a critical lesson. Kachas Aaron v'espanav ito. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're told later in the parsha, or four psukim later to be exact, by Krev Moshe es Aaron v'espanav, Moshe brought Aaron and his sons close, and we easily see Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron and his sons in the big day kahuna. Everything he was told to put on, except the mechnesei bad, except for the pants. What happened to the pants? So Yaakov Kamenetsky already in Parshas Tetzaveh took notice of the fact that consistently in the Torah, there's a Lashon Nikiyah, a Lashon of Tznius. And the Torah doesn't mention dressing people in pants because it's not a fashion, it's not a fine and refreshing Lashon and language. Although it's not a Devar Aser, there's nothing wrong in talking about these things. But nevertheless, the Torah is teaching us that from the fineness of the language of the way a person talks, a person would understand on his own to avoid this type of discussion. Here too, the pants aren't mentioned in order to keep the image pure. Aaron and his sons lean their hands. The end of the parsha discusses the karbanos that the Kohanim were required to bring to be endowed with the Kedushas Kahuna. While normally karbanos brought in partnership that are prepared by one on behalf of the partnership, But this time each Kohen was involved, since each needed to be involved. And the Brisker Rav explained that while in organized partnerships, one person can represent the others, and therefore one person's hands would be a chatzitza for the others, in cases like these where the partnership is demanded by Hashem and not voluntary, the group forms a single unit and the disqualification of chatzitza disappears. Rishakta suggested that this helps explain why members of a community Eruv do not need to check with each member when joining, as they're part of a single entity. It also explains why dissenting opinions of a Beis Din also continue to be part of the Beis Din, despite their being outvoted by the majority, as they are a unit formed by their mission, they're not dependent on agreeing to partner. And so therefore, they're collectively responsible, they're collectively collected, and they're collectively motivated to move together. Bayishkat, we're also, we find the Shalshelis, the rare Shalshelis on the word of Bayishkat. And this happens to be one of those strange traps on a word, because the word Shalshelis implies some sort of delay. Why would Moshe make a delay on a Shechita? What uncertainty did he experience, especially given the fact that a Shechita with a delay is pretty bad? So Rav Shimon Schwab explained that while we have no uncertainty and we do not waver with regard to the Tzivui Hashem, the heavenly command, we do savor the spiritual moment that we create by following Hashem's command. And so during the 7 days of Miluim prior to Aaron's investiture as the Kohen Gadol, it was Moshe who served in this capacity. He was the Kohen Gadol for a week. His very last action as Kohen Gadol was the Shechita of this Ayil, after which all duties in the Mishkan were ceded over to Aaron and his sons. So the Shalshelis on the word Vayishchat demonstrates that Moshe held on as long as he could, to hold on just a drop longer to savor the mitzvah, to relish the final moments of acting as a Kohen. Finally, for the Parsha at least, as Aaron and his sons proceed, towards the end of the Parsha we read, in Pesach Ohel Moed Lo Seitzu Shevas Yamim Ad Malos Yimei Miluichem, that from the opening of Ohel Moed, they shouldn't leave for 7 days until the Miluim are completed. Rabbi Baruch Simon, one of the great Rashi Yeshiva and Yeshiva Sarvenu Yitzhak Elchanan, would often point out that the preparatory days of one's life are like the Yimei HaMiluim. The early stages are like the Miluim. These are the times where the rules during the Chinuch are much more strict than the rules themselves. For instance, the Chashmonaim didn't want to allow Tamei oil at the time of the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, because although Tumar Hotra B'Tzibur, although it might be mutter regularly, one doesn't use a heter alone at the time of the establishment of the course of the future. And the same thing is true in our lives. At the times we establish new stages in life, the early pieces need to be done with a solid grounding without veering from the Mishkan. Finally, in the Haftorah we read, in the Maftir, which is the Maftir for Parshas Para, we're told Zoschukas HaTorah, this is the chok of the Torah. Why is Para Aduma referred to as a chok? So Moshe Wolfson quoted Rav Gedalia Shor, who explained that every mitzvah has a unique aspect to it, which is often found in a different minor form in other mitzvos. And Para Aduma's unique component is that it's a chok without a reason. Whenever we find concepts in some aspect of all other mitzvos, we know it comes from Para Aduma. It's not a reason to give it up. Sometimes it's a reason to purify ourselves, to think that why we're doing what we're doing is because it's a Tzivui Hashem. Maybe that's something for us to pay attention to, even when we don't understand it or it doesn't jive with us. We need to think a little bit deeper, and we can. Finally, in the Haftorah, which comes from the book of Yechezkel, we're told that Nasati Lachem Leiv Chadash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will give us a new heart to be able to handle the next stages in life. The great Rav Shalom Karmi contrasted the new heart in this Haftorah with the single heart Yechezkel speaks about in Perek Yud Aleph. And here, Yechezkel recognizes that Hashem punished Bnei Yisrael due to their disobedience. Now, Hashem's confronting them about their dependence on Him. So on the one hand, He can wipe away their tumah, which they themselves can't do, and yet at the same time, we need a new attitude to recognize that our way of dealing with Hashem doesn't work, that we need a new way of approaching Him together. Here we are. We're once again on the cusp of a Yantif. We're leaving the holiday of Purim, Kimu v'Kiblu. The Jews accepted upon themselves. They engaged in a tshuva and a kapara. And now there's a time to rise up and become something higher than where they were before. And not just to get back to level zero, but to actually become Tahorim. And as we prepare for and hope to achieve the holiday of Geula, may we finally achieve it. May we all merit to get to the great day. A Shabbat Shalom to all.